For Spokane Public Radio, I'm Chris Messini. My guest today is Aaron Pringle, Spokane-based author of the forthcoming novel, Hazada, I Miss You. The novel opens as the last Midwestern traveling circus is due to arrive in a rural village it has visited for a century of summers. Like the village, the circus is on its last leg, down to one elephant and a handful of acrobats. The circus boss's sweetheart is dying. The former starring act is recovering from cancer. The assistant, Frank, plans to retire after this show. Meanwhile, twins Heza and Abe wander the hot fields and roads, waiting for the circus or anything better. Hazada, I Miss You is a novel that explores tradition, love, and suicide, set under the fading tents of small-town America and the circus. Aaron, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris.
So at the center of this novel is obviously a traveling circus. So yeah. What first drew you to that subject for a story?
I'm not sure. I grew up in a really small town of 3,000 in Illinois, and there's so much of the past still present in the day-to-day, whether that's stories or the faded advertisements from 70 years ago that are still on the brick buildings, just never repainted or fixed. And in that way, I think the circus is still present. And my sister took me the first time when I was 5 or 6, and I remember it being a pretty surreal experience. And then in third grade, that was our class field trip. So my research started early, and that's probably where it came from, because if a story has to happen on a day unlike any other day, in a small town, those are very few.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to maybe introduce us to some of the characters.
So, sure. Because
that was one of the things I really loved about this book is, you know, we have a lot of sort of the stereotypical circus characters. There's acrobats and sideshow characters and sort of the circus boss. But we as a reader are not set up to really gawk at them as circus. We see them very closely as humans. So maybe is there a section you could read that might introduce us to either the characters in the circus or the characters in the village? Because I think they're both set up in that way.
Sure. Yeah, and thanks for saying that. I think I'll just start at the very beginning, because you can kind of get the idea of the whole shebang. It's another hot day, and the petunias have long gone stringy in the baskets that hang from the village's three lampposts. The lampposts stand evenly spaced on the sidewalk in front of the diner. 6 lampposts, if you count their reflections in the diner window. More than that, if you count their reflections in the empty storefronts across the street. But if their shadows and reflections don't count as part of their reality, then it's just 3 lampposts. They're in the century-ago style closest to the blurry pictures and planning sketches of the village in its youth. When the houses were new, people arrived without leaving, train tracks stitched the land, and advertisements painted the walls of the brick buildings. The village council bought the lampposts a few years ago when it became hopeful or deluded about tourists, finding them, then luring them into the leaning neighborhoods and brick buildings. And once the tourists became residents, the village would be one step closer to having more people under the age of 70. Doesn't take a genius to see that it's the children we need to focus on if we want to keep the villages here, said a member of the village council at the monthly meeting held in the church basement. On the folding table in front of the village council was a glossy catalog opened to a page of lampposts. More kinds of lampposts than anyone would imagine. In the audience of empty folding chairs sat one person, the woman who wrote, edited, and published the village's monthly newsletter. The refrigerator in the church kitchen stopped groaning. Please let the minutes reflect that I hereby agree that tourists would invigorate the economy, decrease the village's aging debts. We've already agreed about that. But is it in the minutes? What I want to know is how we charm strangers into moving here when we can't keep people from leaving. People whose families have lived here for generations. Oh, here we go again. We're farmers, not real estate agents. What we need is artists, someone laughed into a cough. "I've been reading," said one council member. "And as soon as artists move into a place, money follows. In Detroit," we're not in Detroit. Oh, thank God. "In Chicago," everyone groaned. "Here's an idea. Let's ship the crime down from Chicago and the people will naturally follow." The men smirked at each other. "You know, Capone sent Jen down the Wabash and into Terre Haute." "You think Terre Haute would get more tourists for that?" Several nodded. The newsletter woman took notes. "Who's going to buy their pictures?" "The tourists. I mean, the artists, their pictures. Aren't the tourists moving here?" The refrigerator started mumbling again. "Ideas may be the problem." "Lampposts aren't ideas." "My grandmother would say, clean the house first, or you're just decorating dust." They thought about the train tracks that got pulled up years ago, how the interstate is a good 20-minute drive one way or 40 minutes another. The village's one school building was torn down a few decades ago, so what kids do live here bus to the nearest town, whose heartbeat is a little better.
That was my guest, Erin Pringle, reading from her new novel, Hazada, I Miss You. So I'm really actually glad you read that opening sequence, because I think it does a really good job of setting the tone for the book, which is both humorous, but also has this undertone of sort of sadness or loss. You know, there's this theme running through the novel of dreams of, you know, so the young characters, Abe and Heza, are dreaming about their lives and the future. And then the older characters are sort of looking back on their dreams and sort of dealing with what went wrong or maybe why their dreams didn't come true the way they thought they would. So could you talk about that tension between dreams and loss? Because I think that's really central to what's going on in this book.
Well, I think dreaming is beautiful and vital and important. And art creates a dream that helps us learn and think and understand the world in which we live. And I think art, painting, sculpture, dance, music, poetry, those present dreams that are made by real people and that are clearly made by people. You know, like you can see the canvas, and art seems to present a dream that does not disappoint in a way that marketing and capitalism and this sort of, I feel like dreaming's been hijacked, where commercials have decided that they will create dreams that lead to purchasing, and they're going to promise families that will never separate or suffer if you buy this dish soap. So this, the way of dreaming when it's tied to buying and consumerism, is, I think, the dangerous dream. So
yeah. Well, I just to bring it back to the book a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, that the circus is a perfect sort of symbol or device for that, because the circus really is a dream. It's this idea of spectacle and mystery and bizarre and fantasy. But then when you arrive there, oftentimes the actual experience of it is kind of sad and a little bit disappointing, even because you start to see, and I think particularly in your novel, you peek behind the curtain and see that the people in the circus are just as sad and have just as many broken dreams as the people who are dreaming of going to the circus. So I think that the circus in this book really plays that role that you were talking about of,
right, yeah,
of this dream that is sort of too fantastical or magical to be totally real. And so we get to see the reality of it in this book.
Yes, exactly. It's like it provides the occasion for a certain amount of dreaming until it arrives and you're looking in a mirror, which is quite disappointing. And so then what do you do with that? You know, you buy a lemon shake up. You know? And even that doesn't last very long. Yeah.
Well, my guest has been Erin Pringle. Her novel about the circus and dreams and loss and life in small town America is Hazada, I Miss You. She'll be hosting a release party and reading on Sunday, February 9th, 2 p.m. at the Washington Cracker Building in Spokane. Erin, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Chris.